Now we come to page E6, the conversion of Paul. So the reason Paul was converted to Christ, the main reason because God chose him. You know, from chapter 13, talk about the first missionary trip done by Paul. Because according to Acts chapter 1, the gospel will spread all over the world. However, God had to use his own worker. So where comes the worker? So before the work been done in the Acts chapter 9, God chose Paul. So you know, where there is a work, God always will prepare his worker first. Because this is God's will. And church is God's kingdom. So spreading the gospel is God's business. So God will plan and God will act by himself. So in the church work, the only thing we need to pray more, and God will choose his own worker to fulfill his own purpose. So in Acts chapter 9, the chosen of Paul, right? And chapter 13 onwards is the first missionary trip. Now we look into I-4, a great determination, a great determination. This is talking about while Paul was serving God, he served with a great determination. And this is talking about the spirituality of Paul. Because he was very well much aware about God's entrustment. And he was touched very much by the love of God. And he was filled abundantly by the power of the Holy Spirit. So when he served God in his heart, he had the words of God, he had the power of God, and he had the love of God. And he proclaimed the name of God. So from the example of Paul, we understand that to serve God is not only outwardly, we do something mechanically for him. To serve God, something inside our heart is very important. Whether we are filled by the love of God, whether we feel by the power of God, and whether we are humble to submit ourselves to God, that's really very important. So chapter 20, verse 24 to 27, did not care for his own life. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Now, so verse 24, he talk about that he even consider his life as nothing if he want to accomplish the will of God. He even waiting to die for the sake of gospel. So he served God with a great determination. So he was a very faithful servant of God. Servant to a point, he was waiting to die for him. And this kind of great determination coming from his commitment to accomplish God's work. And this commitment is coming from the movement of God. You look into your parents. Your parents, in order to raise you up to a good children who has a great future. So your parents have a great commitment, spend a lot of time, energy, and money try to take care of you, and eventually want you to become a good person in the world and also in the church. Because of love, outcome of this kind of commitment. So Paul, he loved God. So out of his love, he did have this kind of commitment. Even did not care about his own life. So love is really very powerful. The book of Song of Solomon says, love is as strong as death. Jesus Christ loved us to a point, he died for us. That was his commitment, to die for the people because he loved us. So one day, if the love of Jesus Christ fell upon us, we will love Jesus to a point, we are waiting to die for him. We are waiting to serve him to a point to die for him. So this commitment coming from our love towards Jesus Christ. So it's impossible that we feel we love God and we don't want to do anything for him. So sometimes we sing him out, we feel the atmosphere is filled with love. We have been feeling that God loves us and we feel God, we love God too. Of course, that feeling is good, but feeling itself is not 100% of your love to God. Maybe it's only the beginning of your love to God. After you sing the hymn or after you pray, you feel in love of God. And after you finish that, what are you going to do for Jesus Christ? How much are you going to sacrifice for him? That will count how much you love him. Paul's love to Jesus Christ involved with his sacrifice even to his life. Point B, determined to finish the journey. In the chapter 20, verse 24, he was determined to finish the journey. Because in his heart, he has only one wish. Whatever he do, he can please God. And please God, but what way? By accomplish what God entrusted him. So this is another mentality we learn. Try to please God. Just what we mentioned in the first day, right? In the NYTS, we have a lot of rule and regulation. Not a lot. Some are rule and regulation. If we only observe the rule and regulation superficially or literally, then we are no different with joining some kind of camping or some kind of outing, right? Because you join any camping outing, there's a rule and regulation too. But what makes a difference is we try to follow the rule and regulation for the purpose that we want to please God. So if we only superficially follow the rule and regulation without the inner motivation, then after you go home, everything becomes just normal. What you live a life just like what you did before. But in here, if we can be disciplined, you do everything because you want to please God. You have this kind of mindset. You have this kind of mentality. But when you go home, there is no rule and regulation. But you have this kind of mindset. You want to please God. And your life will change. Not only in these 15 days. Your life will change from now on till forever. Because you want to please God. So for while you are following the rule and regulation from the bottom of your heart, you have to pray to God, please give me a heart of love. So I want to love you. I want to please you. And that is the reason I follow the rule and regulation. From the bottom of your heart, not only superficially, like the Israelites obey the Mosaic law. Superficially, they obey the Mosaic law. But in deepest part in their heart, there is no God at all. So God was not pleased with them. So when you follow this rule and regulation, if only outwardly, then in the eyes of God, it's no help, there's no value. But if you do it out of pleasing God, and then it has great value. So whether you have value or not, absolutely do something with something inside your heart. What motivates you to do this? So Paul, who was a person who determined to finish the journey. Why he determined to finish the journey? Because he wanted to please God. This is the bottom line. This was his mindset. want to please God. That's the most important thing. Point C, accomplish the commission of God. Do you know, one day, every one of us, we have to report whatever we have done to God. So God will hold everyone accountable. So this is very important. Please don't think you can live whatever life you want to live and nothing is going to happen. Please don't think in your whole life you can only please yourself and you still can go to heaven. Because the one who judges whether you can go to heaven or not is not you. The one who judges whether you can go to heaven or not, it is God. The one who determines how much glory we can receive from God is you, is not you, it is God. We have to understand God will hold everyone accountable. And because of this reason, we try to accomplish the commission of God. Just like Jesus Christ in John chapter 17. Let us see the mindset of Jesus Christ. John chapter 17. Verse 4. I have glorified you in my earth, and I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Verse 5. And now, my Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. So verse 4 is a request of Jesus Christ. Please, glorify me together with yourself. Please, let me enjoy the glory with you in heaven. And how can Jesus Christ make this request? Because of verse 4, I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given to me. So Jesus fulfilled God's entrustment faithfully. So after he had lived his life, and he was able to request God to give him glory in heaven. So the same thing, Paul knew that one day he was going to face God and receive blessing from God. And because of this, he tried his best to accomplish the commission of God. Because God is going to hold him accountable. That was the reason. So today, all the things we do in the church, including these 15 days, NYTS, you do in the church, there are two mentalities. The first mentality, because I come here, so I was arranged to clean up. I was arranged to do this. I was arranged to do that. You have no other motivation other than you obey outwardly, arranged by the NYTS coordinator. This is one mentality. The second mentality is out of your heart. You want to start to learn to serve God. You want to start to try to repay the love of God. You want to praise God. You want to glorify the name of God. And outwardly, you may do the same thing. But inwardly, you do it from different motivation. But in the eyes of God, when you God look at you, with different motivation in the eyes of God, the value is totally different. So what you have to try your best is, you are not only outwardly try to fulfill your duty arranged by the NYTS team. You have to try your best from inside your heart. Do it for God. And then whatever you have been doing in these 2 weeks, God will remember. If you only do it outwardly after NYTS is finished, not only everybody forget, God cannot remember either, because he's not doing for God. So we look into Paul's life. From he was chosen until he was died, he had been sacrificed so much, and his sacrifice has been remembered by God. Why? It's not only mechanical service. It's not only our service. It is the service out of bottom of his heart. He wants to please God. He wants to love God. He wants to glorify the name of God. Number D. Did all things according to the will of God? In chapter 20, verse 20 and 27. When we reach there, we will continue how to study this part. Now we come to 5. God entrust him with a great mission. Let's come back to Acts chapter 9, from 12 to 16. Okay, when Paul was enlightened, he became blind. And in the verse 8, he became blind and he was leading to Damascus. And verse 9, for 3 days, he was unable to see and eat and drink. And then verse 10 onwards, in a vision to a man called Ananias, God entrusted him to go to see Paul. And say he was praying there. What was the mission of Ananias? There are two missions. The first mission, in verse 12, you have to lay hand on him so he can regain the sight. And verse 15, the second mission. Chapter 9, verse 15. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentile, a king and the children of Israel. Okay. So God commanded Ananias to tell Paul about the work God wants him to do. Let us think about a question, an issue. How come God did not reveal to Paul directly what God wants him to do? And God revealed his will through Ananias. Why? And I think this is quite important. If everything Paul received from God directly, it's a great test for Paul. Maybe later on, Paul is not going to listen to anybody's advice because you are nothing. Whatever I want to do, I come from God. So you will never pay attention to anybody's advice. Paul was a great apostle of God. However, the will of God to him was conveyed through Ananias, not directed from God. So because of this, it is a discipline to Paul. You are a great disciple, but you still have to listen to the members because the will of God may be come to you through the members. Today is the same. If one of the church members, they claim, everything I pray to God, God revealed to my will. Whatever I know, God, whatever I want to do, God revealed his will to me directly. I tell you, quite often, this church member is very difficult to be submissive to church guidance. Because you think, I'm connected to God. I don't want to listen to anybody else. If all the church members in that way, then the church cannot be in one mind, one accord, you know? So sometimes God's will come to us directly. Yes, you pray, Holy Spirit move you. You pray, you open the Bible, the God move you to understand God's will. But sometimes God's will come to you through other people. Other people be moved, or some spiritual person be moved, touched by God, and tell you something, and that maybe it's a will of God. So that not only you listen to God, you also will be submissive to other people if some people tell you the will of God, the will of God. So God has his own wonderful way to guide the church. And then, verse 17, who baptized Paul? It was Ananias who baptized Paul. And in the beginning, Ananias resisted to come to see Paul. Why? Because he knew that Paul was a person who persecuted a Christian. So he did not want to go. But God said, no, he is the one I choose. So Ananias submit to the will of God. So he became the chosen vessel among the Gentiles. Chapter 9, verse 15. But the Lord said to him, go, he is the chosen vessel, mine, and bear my name before the Gentile king and the and the Israelite. Verse 16, for I will show him how many things he might suffer for the sake of my name, my sake. And since he was a chosen people, he will preach the gospel for the Gentile. Now we look into chapter 22, Acts chapter 22. This is a something typo. 26, Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Verse 16. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, and to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of things which I will yet reveal to you. Verse 17. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentile to whom I now send you. Verse 18. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, and that may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So Paul was instructed by God. What did he do? What will he do? He went into the Gentile for preaching the gospel. And what the salvation means from verse 18. First one, open the eyes. Now, before we receive the gospel, our eyes are blind. Spiritually speaking, our eyes are blind. So we don't know God, we don't know Jesus, we don't know heaven, we don't know Hades, we don't know final judgment, we don't know the spiritual realm. So we are blind. And after the gospel been preached to us, our eye opened. So you were able to understand and to know the spiritual realm. So once we understand what the spiritual realm means, then you will understand what the salvation means. There are four meanings. Salvation means to turn from darkness to light. This is the first one. Salvation means from the power of Satan to God. Salvation means receive the forgiveness of sin. And salvation means receive the inheritance in heaven. So these are the four meanings of the salvation. Okay. So once our eye open, you are going to see to be saved or not to be saved is tremendous difference. It's between the difference of heaven and the earth. So right now, you tell other people about salvation, they consider, if I don't receive salvation, it seems nothing is going to happen to me. Right? If you don't want to study in a certain school, it doesn't really happen to you. Right? If you don't want to take certain type of job, in the long run, it seems no harm to you. Right? So some people say, if I don't receive the salvation, it seems no much difference. But if we look into verse 18, it's tremendous difference. If we are saved, we come out from darkness to light. Then what the darkness means? Darkness means death. And light referring to life. So salvation is between life and death. And death means eternal death. In the what? Hades, the burning fire. And life means eternal life in heavenly kingdom. So there's a total difference. And darkness means the dominion of sin. And light means the freedom out of sin. So when we receive the salvation, we receive the power. The sin cannot control us anymore. But before we receive the salvation, we live under darkness. We've been controlled by sin. We sin every day. So this is from darkness to light. And darkness referring to blindness. When you are in darkness, you can distinguish a $100 bill or a $20 bill. You have no way to distinguish. You cannot distinguish the true jewelry and the fake jewelry because there is a darkness. But once you come to the light, you are able to tell what is most valuable thing, what is not so valuable. Once we come to salvation, you understand what is the most important thing in your life. The second, salvation is the, from the power of God to, from power of Satan to power of God. So what does that mean? Once you receive salvation, you migrate from the control of Satan into God's kingdom. God's kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy. And when we live under the power of Satan, there is no grace of God, no peace, no joy. And the next one, salvation is forgiveness of your sin. So your sin will be totally justified, forgiven. And eternal, the last one, salvation means inherit the eternal blessing in heaven. So salvation has something to do with our eternity. And that what was entrusted to Paul to preach to the Gentile. Now, 5b. In order to preach the gospel, so he had to suffer for Christ. Now, he had to suffer for Christ. Chapter 9, verse 16. We'll come back to Acts chapter 9, verse 16. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. God already foretell Paul is going to suffer for the sake of God's name. You know, when you finish your study, you work in a society. You go to work early, and sometimes you come back very late. You suffer a lot. But you suffer a lot with the price, right? You have the salary, you have the annual income. The more responsibility you bear, the more compensation you receive. So usually if your income are very high, you will be bear great responsibility. So, but when we look into Paul, he suffered for Christ for what? For nothing. Material speaking, for nothing. He make tent and to support his own life. He had no living allowance. And then we have to ask a fundamental question. Why Paul suffered so much for God? If you read the 2 Corinthians, right? Paul was stoned almost to die. And Paul was beaten. And Paul, a lot of times, had no food to eat. And he had no clothes to wear. He encountered a lot of persecution. With this kind of job description, does any one of you are waiting to accept this kind of job? I don't think any one of you are waiting to accept this job. However, Paul did it free charge. What was the reason? The bottom reason is still the same. It is because the love of God compelled him. So when we study the book of Acts, we are not only try to study what did Paul do for God. We also want to look at a deeper level. Why did Paul do that? Can we do that without a deeper reason? Can we do a lot of things to God without a deeper reason? Let's see 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are out of sound mind, it is for you. Verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus that one died for all, and then all die. Verse 15. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. So verse 15 talks about the change of our life. From now on, we should not live for ourselves. From now on, we have to live for Christ. This kind of change of life direction is very difficult. You know, every day we are living a life for ourselves, right? A lot of people have American dream. The reason you choose this kind of major, the reason you go to that kind of school, what? Eventually, you want to make more money to fulfill your American dream. So everyone, when we are planning for our own future, we all plan it for ourselves. But Paul say, from now on, we no longer live for ourselves. We no longer have our own dream. We live for Christ. We have a dream for Jesus Christ. We have a dream for the church. That's a tremendous change. That is a tremendous transformation. And how can We make ourselves with this kind of transformation. And the reason is in the previous verse we just read. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us. It is the love of Christ who controls us, who touches us, who moves us to do so. And how did what is the love of Christ? He died for us. That is the love of Christ. So the reason Paul suffered for Christ is because of his love. And 5C, God revealed the truth to him. And Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, the truth proclaimed by Paul was revealed by God directly. So he said, whoever proclaim a gospel different from what I preach to you, the one should be cursed. He was so confident. The gospel proclaimed by him has so much authority. It's the truth from God. So today, we know in TJC, the truth we proclaim is the truth from God, revealed by God directly. So God revealed the truth to him. Number D, move the whole world. Chapter 24, verse 5. Paul was nothing but a human being, but he moved the whole world. Chapter 4, 24, verse 5. Acts chapter 24, verse 5. For we have found this man a plague, a crater of dissension among all the Jews throughout the world, and the ringleader of the sect of Nazareth. Here the people describe Paul, right? Like a man like a plague. Right, in another English translation say he turned the heaven upside down. He was like a plague. What does a plague mean? The plague spread very fast, sometimes out of your own control, right? And Paul, only a human being, how come wherever he went, it caused so much difference, caused so much confusion and disturbance? It's because the power of God was with him. God walked mightily through him. So he was able to turn the heaven upside down and produce a very great effect. Through the three missionary trips, including the last one, the fourth missionary trip, Paul was able to introduce the gospel from Antioch to the Rome. Why? Because God walked mightily with him. Why did God walk mightily with him? Because he was a vessel suitable for God to use. So we have pretty much studied the characteristic of Paul because he is one of the center figure in the book of Acts. So we have to study a little bit in depth about this person. What is Paul? How did he come to what he was? Okay. Number six, the assistant of Ananias and Barnabas. So later on, Ananias and Barnabas came to encourage Paul and to ask Paul came out from his hometown to start the spreading of the gospel. Now, we're going to the number J. Cornelius believed in Christ. Acts chapter 10. Cornelius believed in Christ. Acts chapter 10. First, we have to understand A. Cornelius was a centurion. He was a person who has a high position, centurion, in control of about 100 soldiers. And he was a Roman military soldiers. And that time, the Jewish land was under the colony of Roman Empire. So as a centurion in the Jewish land, he did have certain type of authority and position. However, the reason Bible recorded Cornelius not because he was a centurion, but because of the following reason. Second, B, he was a devout person. Cornelius was a devout person, or he was a godly person. Not only he himself was godly, he and his whole household was godly too. So it's not easy. He must spend a lot of time try to discipline his family, try to lead his family to be fearful to God. So not only he and himself become, or her family become godly. You know, in the parent generation, to be godly is not easy. But in nowadays, in this generation, in this environment, to lead the whole family to become godly is a tremendous job. It needs a lot of prayer and needs a lot of help from God. And Cornelius' whole family was godly too. The third one, he feared God with all his household. We don't have enough time, but I will quote. What does godly means? Godly derived from the words of God. Right? So godly is a person who can manifest the divine character, means godly. And in the James chapter 1, 26 and 27, talk about godly. A person who is godly has three very important characteristics. The first one will control his own tongue. This is the first one. A godly person will be the one God control his tongue. It's godly. If we are not godly, who is control our tongue? We control our tongue. What does it mean we control our tongue? We want to speak whatever we want to speak. Then we are not godly. If you are godly, God control your tongue. You speak whatever God wants to speak. You don't speak anything God don't want to speak. That's called godly. The second, godly is to keep ourselves not defiled by the world. So godly is the person who is very holy, not defiled by the world. You see a lot of movie, right? You know a movie, right now the people, the Hollywood shooting the movie for only one purpose, to make money. In order to make money, so almost every movie contains violence and sex. If you take away the violence and sex, nobody is going to watch the movie. Right? And we spend a lot of money and renting the movie. We subscribe to the premium service and watch a lot of movie. What does that mean? We dump a lot of garbage into our own heart. You know, if you eat a lot of food with fat, your artery will be clogged because of fat, right? So sometimes you eat too many that watery stuff, your heart will be polluted, your spiritual artery will be clogged, and then you will become what? Stroke, paralyzed. You cannot obey the teaching of God. You cannot obey the teaching of God. So a godly person means you are not going to be defiled by the world, polluted by the world, conformed by the world. The third point, godly means love the widows, which means you are filled with compassion. So Cornelius was a godly, devout person. And the Bible in chapter 22 say, he was, verse 22 say, he was a righteous person. And E, he gave alms generously to the poor, and he prayed God always. And the Bible in the verse 4, chapter 10, Acts chapter 10, verse 4. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, verse 4. He was afraid and said, "What is this, Lord?" So he said to him, "Your prayer and your arm has come up for the memorial before God. God remember your prayer and your charity work." So that is to describe the life of Cornelius before he converted to Christ in the eyes of God, being remembered by God. But we have to think about one thing. If Cornelius died at that right moment, can Cornelius be saved? He prayed a lot. He gave the arm generously. And even the angel appeared to him, say, your prayer and arm have been remembered by God. If Cornelius died in that right moment, can Cornelius be saved? Yes or no? Huh? He was a righteous person, right? He prayed a lot, and he was loving people, and he experienced some kind of spiritual experience. So the angel, if he died at that moment, can he be saved? Yes or no? Huh? Yes. Or some say yes. Yes or no? No. Some say no. Some say yes. Let's see chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, verse 14. Who will tell you words by which... 14, huh? Who will tell you words by which you and your household will be saved? Angel tell Cornelius, you have to invite Peter to come. He has a word to tell you so that you and your family can be saved. Okay? So let me ask you a question again. Oh? If Cornelius did not invite Peter to come to proclaim the message to him, can he be saved? No. So this is a very important fact. Oh? Charity work is good, but charity work is not a guarantee of your salvation. Okay? Religious experience is good, but religious experience is not a guarantee of your salvation. Or that's a special case. Huh? That is a special case. Huh? What we are talking about in a general practice. Huh? So a lot of Christians, they proclaim, I do a lot of charity work, right? I pray a lot. They can tell you a lot of testimony. The grace they experience from God. And they try to use this to justify, are you saying I cannot be saved? But if you look into the example of Cornelius, right? He give alms, he pray, and God remember him. An angel appeared to him. Right? Can he be saved? Of course not. So that was the reason why he has to ask Peter to come. Because the message Peter proclaimed to him is critical important. It's to do something with salvation. So when Peter come, and Peter deliver a sermon in the Acts chapter 10, verse 34 to 43. What was the content of sermon? The content of sermon focused in one point. Jesus Christ. The first point. Chapter 10, verse 36. He is the law of all. Jesus is the law of all. He is in control of everything. From the heaven to the earth. From the spiritual realm into the physical realm. So he is the Lord of all. So he's different from other religious founder. The second one, he preached the gospel of peace. He is the Prince of Peace. So other religion founder is not the Prince of Peace. Because he is the only one who shed the blood to achieve the peace between man and God. So he's the Prince of Peace. Verse 40. In the third day, he resurrected. So he was not confined by death. He's the origin of life. He is in control of life. The fourth one, verse 42. He's going to judge the living one and the dead one. So he is the one he's going to judge. So because of these four reasons, so Jesus Christ is the Savior. He's the Lord of all, he's the Prince of Peace, and he's the resurrection door, he's the Lord of Judgment. So this message is critical important. So Cornelius has good behavior, but he has to accept the name of Jesus Christ. He has to accept this salvation so that his salvation can be secured. So after Peter delivers the sermon, what happened? Peter delivered a sermon, the Holy Spirit descended on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Exactly to fulfill the two prerequisites recorded in John chapter 3, verse 5. If anyone who wants to be saved, you must be born of water, you must be born of spirit. So in 44, they were born with water, and in verse 46, they were born with water. So their salvation can be accomplished. Oh. And in chapter 10, there are several things that we have to pay attention to. This is a tremendous breakthrough. The gospel is going to be introduced to the Gentile. So in order to convince the Jewish people and the worker, it is God's will. So God showed the signs to Cornelius. God showed the signs to Peter. Both of them saw the vision and with the same purpose, preaching the gospel to the Gentile. So this is chapter 10, the conversion of Cornelius. The gospel being spread to the Gentile. Okay, let's pray in silence.